Had some education, but she got college down there.
Mm-hmm. So then they all came over from Oregon?
No, they started out in Missouri. She was born in Wisconsin, but she was the only one, I think. The rest, and they settled in Missouri, and she came from, they settled in Oregon near Forest Grove. Of course, she went to college there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they heard about land being open here, and they came here to settle. And I don't know how they got up on this ridge. It was up on this ridge over here.
Which
but
is
I don't
called
know.
Potlatch?
Yeah, Big Potlatch.
Make sure I'm registering here. Seems to be. I checked my dial, see if it was working there.
Is it working?
Yeah, it's doing fine. Okay, well, about what year would this be?
Well, that was 1880 when they came.
Mm-hmm.
To here, anyway.
And there was still land open for homestead.
Yes, this was all open. They were just starting in to settle up there then. It hadn't been farmed. The Indians had hunted and so on here, but there hadn't ever been any farming done here. And about that time, I guess it opened up, and they could take out 160 acres. That's what you could homestead, but you had to live on it and show that you were making improvements, trying to, you know, to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then my father had came here from, they started out from Iowa. He was born in Missouri, but they lived in Iowa, and my grandfather heard about the gold strike in California. Well, he thought that was for him. He got there, and he didn't find the gold, so he had 120 acres of farmland in Iowa, and he went to California and fooled around. He didn't make anything then. He come on up here and settled on 160 acres and homesteaded up on over Fixed Ridge, up on what they call the Little Potlatch, 13 miles this side of Moscow.
Oh, okay.
And so then my grandmother, which I never had seen, she died before I was born, she had heard about some school teachers. It was over here, heard about the Welkers, which was my mother's maiden name. And so she took a horse to ride and wanted to lead, so she decided to go back with her to teach school. They were going to open up a school, so that's how she met my father. And he went to school to her, only she was some older than he was. And she went to school to him, and finally he talked her into notion to marrying her.
So he got the school marm, huh?
Yeah, he got the school marm and the ranch with it she had.
Oh, yes, you were telling me.
Yeah, they had 100...
Your grandparents homesteaded up here.
Yeah, and and an uncle of mine and my mother. They were the ones that were old enough. They were, I think you had to be 21 and before you could homestead. And they were, of course, beyond the 21.
Okay, so they all three took homestead?
And they all joined. They were all right close together.
Oh. Now, was this unusual for a woman to take a homestead?
Well, I don't think necessarily. They were entitled to it.
Mm.
So I don't know. But I don't think they were. There was one family up there we know of by the name of Heplers that the man and woman both homesteaded, but I know the others didn't kind of frowned on that, so didn't think it was right. That's all I know about it. Of course, I know the people. I remembered the people, but I don't. That was before my time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that homesteading is very interesting because of the improvements and things.
Yes, and so.
Did your mother do her own work, or?
She done all of her own work, yes, but then she only taught for a little while, and then after she married, a year after she's married, she had her first daughter. Well, then first child, she never worked or taught after my mother was born.
Okay.
But there wasn't such a thing as a doctor on that entire, well, anywhere around here, there wasn't a doctor. And my mother had 8 children, she never had a doctor for any of them.
Mm.
And my grandmother had sent and got some sort of a book on childbirth, and she was what they called a midwife, and it was just what she read. And my dad talked like that wasn't anything with her having those children, because her mother was a midwife. Well, I'd like to saw him have one or two of them anyway.
So your grandmother served as midwife for...
Yeah, and she'd ride a horse. People, they knew of her then, and people had to hear about her... And she had 2 older girls at home that could do the work at home, and so they'd see them coming and riding, and they knew what was getting about that time that a woman's going, they'd go get her, and she'd stay there and take care of the baby and do the work, cook her for them while she was away. So they, of course, it'd be such a long ways, all horseback.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be way up on Cedar Creek for miles around, and she'd ride and stay and take care of women when they had their babies.
Now, what was her name?
Welker.
She was
Mrs. Welker, yeah. That's the one my grandfather homesteaded. And of course, my father's name was Euler. He lived up on Little Potlatch. There was a Jess Euler that used to live near Moscow. He got the home place, but he was by the second wife. My grandfather had 10 children with the first wife, and then she died. Then he married a woman much younger than him. He was in his 60s, and he had four more children.
My goodness.
He was busy. Man.
Yeah.
But he was in the, was a soldier in the Civil War.
Mm.
I have a picture of him somewhere here of him in his uniform.
Oh,
then my father, he was never satisfied any one place. And he always wanted to sell the ranch. Well, it was really hers, and she put off until she set a price of $40, and that's where she made the mistake. As quick as he got $40, where she was a woman of her word, and he sold it for that.
Uh-huh.
And now, last year, I don't know if I've heard that they weren't so anxious to buy land right now as they were a year ago. If they didn't want to sell that same land, they could have got $1,100 an acre for it.
Sheesh. $40, huh? Doesn't sound like much
it
right
wasn't,
now.
Huh? They went through a terrible lot for that. Of course, $40 them times went quite a way.
Yeah.
But they used to have a credit, you know, where these stores would get credit for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And my folks, they thought if they had about $100 store bill, and they thought they had an enormous store bill.
Mm. You spend that in about a month now.
I couldn't spend that much yesterday going down and trying to buy some birthday presents for the little girls and for my daughters. She died back in 1914. She died at the age of 57. But my father died in 1951, and he was 91 years old when he died.
Hmm.
But he didn't take things serious. He'd done more work with his mouth than he did with it otherwise.
Yeah.
That isn't going to sound very good to some of my
no.
relatives. But it's the truth. I'm the only one who speak up the truth.
Yeah, you were telling me that before about some of your times that you spoke up to your father. I wanted to ask you while we were back and thinking about the homesteads and the Indians and things, you mentioned Mox coming to dinner?
Yeah, up on Little Potlatch Ridge, we were there one time at my aunts and uncles. They lived up there, had a homestead. My one uncle on dad's side homesteaded. He was old enough, he homesteaded up on Fix Ridge or out on Little Potlatch.
Mm.
And he come there and ate dinner with them. They were friendly, and he'd go there. But my sister, she wouldn't take any of the butter after he had taken some, because when he got ready to put some butter on something, he took the knife and licked both sides of it and put it back in the butter, and then my sister Maud didn't want any more butter.
he served himself and licked both sides of the knife.
Yeah, he wanted to have, he wanted a clean knife when he was going to have.
Made sure he got all the butter off. Did you have dinner there when he was eating there? Or
I suppose I did, but Maud, my sister's a year and a half older than I am, and I don't even remember it, but she remembered it, but I never had to remember that part.
I'll be doggone.
I remember their house, how it was, and all of that. And they had taken a boy to raise. They hadn't adopted him, and we had to help him get in the wood. And he was an honorary kid. He later, they couldn't keep him. And they let him go back. And then he had to go to reform school. I think he's dead though now. And they kept him there, but there was a big high sidewalk where they had it built down, where we had to get out steps to get down to where the wood was, and he'd push us off that big high sidewalk. Well, I was only, when I started school that fall, I would have been 6 years old, but sister was a year and a half old. We had to help, but then we had to get pushed off the sidewalk to get to it. And he was a tallman.
Did you have a lot of chores like that at home? Hauling wood and stuff like that, or was that...
No, I worked more outside after I was married than I did after when we went on our own. I did at home. I was married young. I was 17 when I was married. I had worked out. I made a living after I was 14. I worked at housework though, at Lewis and worked.
Oh.
And that's all I knew, is just to do housework, to work for somebody there.
Well, that's interesting. Did you live in the places where you
worked?
Yes,
I had a room. course, you aren't like the up here where they treat their hired help. I know we always did anyway. People on the ranches here treat them the same as they would do in their family. But when you work in town for those people, serve the meals and courses, you don't eat with them. You serve to them, and then you eat in the kitchen. And whenever they have a nice big front room and so on, but you go on up to your own room after that. But later on, my sister worked just across the street from where I worked, and so we'd go to the show sometimes, about twice a week. That's about all we could afford when we were working. $5 a week while you did all of the housework and cooking, washing and ironing something for $5 a week. Of course, $5 went a lot farther than it does now, but it was...
I wish I could find someone for $5 to do all the cooking and housework.
You do everything. And they didn't have electric washers then when I was working out. There wasn't such a thing. They had one that... But I washed everything on the board. But the flat pieces, like the sheets and the tablecloths they sent to, and the pillow slips they sent to the laundry. The other things I did.
They treat you pretty good outside of the...
Oh, yeah, but then he was a lot nicer than her. She was she was a person who was born poor herself, and then she married a man that had a little bit and went to her head. The lady where my sister worked was a lot more thoughtful than what she was. There's just a lot of difference in people.
Okay. Did you work just in the one place?
No, I've worked other places and listened to it too. And I worked up here in harvest. People that have thrashers. And they used to thrash it all with a machine. Well, then they had to have help, and I'd hire out for that. What they wanted something, I'd hire out.
Oh, what did you do with the thrashing?
What?
What did you do?
Cook.
As a cook, I see.
Yeah, cook and peel potatoes and so on. I was just, I was only 17 when I was married, so I cooked. But mother was sick, and we had to learn how to cook and do things, do housework early, because she was sick for a number of years, and she had Bryce disease, the kidneys, and there wasn't any cure for that. But she never doctored, and she always never complained, and they didn't know it. And my dad had went out over by Moscow to harvest. He ran the thrash machine, the thrashing tender, the machine that thrashes the grain. And when he come home, she changed so much, he took her right away to doctor her, but it was too late, and she only lived a month after that.
Was there a doctor here?
They were doctors here, but then she just never complained, and so she'd have spells that she'd be working in the garden, and she'd get dizzy and pass out in the garden, and still she'd say, it was just a bilious spell is what she called it, and she would never want to go to a doctor. So I can't really hardly remember her ever having a doctor.
She didn't have them for her babies.
She didn't have them for her babies.
Boy, that's pretty good.
I laughed though at my dad one time. He always was telling how much grit he had, and I knew he didn't have too much. So one time he was telling me about a Dr. Mosier that pulled teeth, how he pulled his tooth, and he said how gritty he was. Nobody else but old John Euler could, he always called himself old John Euler, could have stood that. So when I was about 13, I had to have a tooth pulled. I went in there, and Dr. Mosier told me altogether a different story. Said he never heard so much gust in his life.
Well,
I'm honorary, aren't I?
Yeah. Your father's going to get you.
What?
Your father's going to get you.
I don't know if we happen to go the same way. Yeah.
You were also talking last time about going to school and many schools you went to.
Well, I started in Moscow, and I went there. I was in the fourth grade when he moved away. I was 10 years old, and I was in the fourth grade. Well, he didn't wait till the school was out. They moved back over to Leland. That's where we started out in the farm in the first place, and moved over there. Every time he moved, he just made the long move. It cost him a little bit to move, and so we got over there and finished up there. Then we went that fall. We started in Leland, and then a little later, he moved to Southwick and went there. So then the next year, well, I moved to Kendrick. We moved just back down to Kendrick. We started there, and before the bicycle school was out in the spring, well, we got back up in Cedar Creek. Well, my sister had taken her 8th grade to get examinations. I was in 7th grade, and she was through with that. But I went on up there to a Crescent school, and I had to, but that year I didn't, it was just a little bit of school left, so I didn't go anymore. But I started in and had my report card, didn't let me go ahead as far as that goes, but I had to stay till the term was out. So I started there, and I went that winter until in the spring before the school was out, when we were back in Leland. And that's where I finished up. I took my 8th grade examinations there.
Oh,
that's where I ended up. And then, of course, that's as far as I ever got in school.
Was there a big difference between the city school, like Moscow, and
Yes, it was more thorough there. Of course, up at Moscow, we not only had to write our spelling words down, we had to put the marks, if it was a long A or what it was like it was in the dictionaries or in your spelling book.
Oh.
And you'd get your written examinations, you had to know how to even mark those, so you'd know how to pronounce them.
I see.
And then, of course, after I got back over this way, well, then got in the 5th grade again. Why, I'd never done that. I just learned to spell them. That was all.
The teachers had more time? Were the classes smaller?
Well, they just have one grade. And those up at Leland and the same at Southwick, they had more than one grade. In some of those schools, the country schools, they had all 8 grades and all of the subjects to teach. Mm-hmm. Well, they couldn't do justice by the kids, you know, and teach that many. But these little country schools, they kind of dwindled down. People got so, the old folks got through having all those children, they didn't have so many anymore. When my son started his school, there was a teacher there, was teaching all 8 grades. She had 42 or 43 children that she had to teach and had all those grades. Well, when the girls went, they were 8 years younger. Well, they were 17. So they had dwindled down from that much in the time that the twins started to my son was through. He started the high school the year they started to grade school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess that would be right, yeah. 8 years.
Didn't happen to the next time I had children. Why, I had one that girl, in about 5 minutes I had another. They were closing it together.
Was that a surprise? Did you know you were going
to
have
twins? No, I didn't know it. Because I went down. When I got in the fall, when I felt sick, I went down to the doctor, and he thought that's what it was, and I never did go back. Later on, I knew, blessed good and well it was, but you didn't go and get checkups all the time, or at least I didn't. And on a Friday, I didn't feel good, and I sent and got Fred's sister. She rode horseback up to be with me, and he was way off back in the canyon somewhere cutting wood. Well, Willard was he hadn't even started to school then. Till that next fall. No, yeah, I had to. He'd started to school, but he would have been in school in that day. Saturday was on. But I couldn't have sent him way back there anyway, because he wouldn't have known where to find his dad. So he come home that night. Well, he thought I had 3 weeks that I should go yet. And he said, well, he bawled me out for sending for his sister for Minnie. And Minnie said, well, if you want me again, either you phone, don't pay attention to Fred. So I waited, went on. I was home all day alone Saturday. And Sunday I got up and I got his breakfast and I got so goddamn sick. And we had another barn where we had stock down the lane from our place there, another big barn down there. He had his stock. He fed them first that morning. And I was getting pretty sick. And when he come to the house, well, he helped me fix the bed. And he started phoning to get some help, and boy, now he was getting excited. And the first thing he knew, he had 2 babies on his hands, and he didn't know what the world to do with them.
No kidding.
And Mrs. Stoneburner, there's a lady that came later, they picked her up, and the doctor, when the doctor came, all he done is come in, look them over, and everything is all right, and go back to town. But mud was so thick and so deep, and it had such terrible roads that they had to, could just come to this little town 3 miles from our place with a car, and then they had to take a rig on from there. Fred's brother brought the doctor on in, but we didn't need him. And Fred's brother-in-law got Mrs. Stoneburner, and she came. Well, she had the baby's all dressed, and everything was over time he got there. He just wanted to stay in town.
So your husband is the one that delivered your twins then?
Well, he didn't have much to do about it.
Well, he caught it.
He just asked me where this was at, and that was at, and something else. What did you do? But he was really excited.
Well, how about you?
didn't bother me.
It didn't bother you at all.
It would have been someone else that would have. I never have. I've been sick of it. I never worry about myself. It's the other folks, mm-hmm. the members of the family. I always think I'm tough. I'll come through someday. I'll be going to luck out. But anyway, like, my son, was kind of funny with him. He likes to tease me. Fred did too. And if they thought anything make you mad, they'd just keep saying that.
Yeah.
So he got teased me after his dad died about my boyfriend. And after he moved here, he got any of those boyfriends. So here a while back, I was out. Lois, my daughter was sick, and I was down there sending the kids to school, taking care of them. And he says, well, there's about three of those old guys that you chase around with there in Julietta sitting out on your porch, out there in your little porch, is when we came down. Well, I says, you look again when you go back tonight and tell them if they're still there to stick around. I'll be back.
You don't want to lose them, huh?
Well, he wanted to play the game, I'd play it with him.
Yeah. Oh, you were saying your dad used to tease you, too, about marrying a German?
A German, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he said, he'd get a little bit perturbed at me, because I talked back to him. Maud wouldn't talk back to him, so him and her got along fine. But I didn't like something, I let him know it. They usually know what I think. Mm-hmm. And he said something about, he liked Fred, that was my husband. He liked him all right, and he thought the world of his dad. He was a German all right, but he talked about his, that there. Cattigas Dutchman is what he called him. And my sister went with a full-blooded German the same as I did, and she married one. But later on, of course, I married quite a bit before she was, and said to him, well, I says, what's the difference, I said, between a Cattigas Dutchman and a cross-eyed Dutchman? Her German, Maud didn't like it.
She didn't like that at all. Was there a lot of rivalry between the German people and...
There was later years. I don't know at first if there was. When they came here, even when Fred and I were married and I started going to the church that he went to there, Cameron, the Lutheran church, they stuck pretty much to their German then, but you don't see that anymore. They have married in, those older ones didn't want to marry anything but a German, and they didn't want them to talk anything but German around home. Well, some of those old folks have been here for years never did learn to speak English. Mm. But that's a whole lot stubbornness than anything else. But they are an awful stubborn breed of people as far as I'm concerned. I lived with one for 44 years.
You're an expert then.
What?
You're an expert then.
Yeah, I know. They are. You're not going to tell them a heck of a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But they are over in Germany, they don't have the resources you have here. And they have to do a lot of saving. And they came here, and these other people had come and homesteaded. Well, they eventually got tired of it and they'd sell out to the Germans. Well, the Germans, they build it all up and build nice homes and stuff. They come back and look at it after so and so how it turned out. Well, they didn't like it. But it was their own fault. Well, they could have done the same thing, but they just weren't as industrious.
And then the German people around here were especially industrious.
Yeah, they are.
They did.
And you'll notice up around Troy, too, most all those people are the Swedes and Norwegians are pretty well fixed. They just don't have as much as they have here. They can't afford to waste it back there. They have to take care of everything.
Hmm.
But my husband, he used the word hurry more than any other word there was ever in the dictionary. But he never told you to do anything but what he did to give you that hurry word with it. And that's just the way his folks lived and done. Just run as hard. They just go as hard as they could.
Hmm.
They just go on, and he expected everyone else to keep up.
Catch up with him if they could. Yeah. Well, I hope my thing's working right, because my little dial isn't. That looks all right. There it goes. Let's see, I had something else I wanted to ask you about. We've picked up some stories about a doctor in Kendrick.
What's his name?
Oh, and I don't remember his name, but he was supposed to have been a real character, and I wonder if you remember.
It wouldn't have been. Oh, Dr. Kelly?
Dr. Kelly?
Dr. Awful? Any of those?
That doesn't ring a bell. I don't know. Anyway, I wondered if you remembered any doctors.
I remember the ones back as far as, then there was a Dr. Stoneburner that was up at Leland. That was a little town there, that up there for 2 miles from where our homestead was. And I don't know just what you'd mean. If I knew just what he should might have done.
Well, there was a doctor, and he was in Kendrick, and he was supposed to have had a special cure, and people would come all over to him.
Or must have been a witch doctor. No, I've never heard of it.
I don't have the fellow's name right now. I can't think of it.
I don't know. I may have heard of it, but I wouldn't know what in the heck he would have a cure-all.
I don't know if he was genuine anyway.
I've never heard of that.
Hmm.
Well, I know Macy and I had heard everything, and you tell her what she'd tell you.
Yeah.
She'll tell you one thing. One minute, she does, she studies history, and she does a lot of reading, and she can get history books. When Marcia comes in there, she always is there to take out books,
mm-hmm.
and she likes to read, but she tells stuff that I happen to know different, because that it isn't anything to that, but she has told me that, I said something is a place on the war, and this ridge that they farmed one time, and I said, I've never been on that place. Don't give that old stuff to me. He says, your husband and you come to our place many a time when we live there. I've never been on that place yet to this day. It isn't very far. I've been by it since that time.
Yeah.
But I've never been on that place. I've never stepped foot on that place. The hill places and you know that. I've never been on that place. But she tells you something. There's two of them here. One's an old maid and she's a widow. And you just don't see, they say something, and they're getting in the darndest arguments amongst them. I just shut up because there's no use talking because you're not going to convince her.
You don't want to take a side.
And sometimes this Macy will tell you something before she gets through. But don't play that for her.
No, I won't.
So I guess she makes herself out a liar. She contradicts herself before she gets through. That's quite something.
Now, you were telling me last time about your dad, and after your mother died. How he went out and was having such a good time, and how
he
didn't approve?
No, he didn't. And he'd get so mad. He'd try to go with the women. There's a widow up there, had been a little child, and she was in her probably upper 20s, somewhere along in there. And he had kids by, he got as old as she was. He wanted to go with her, and she chose a younger friend. He just hated those younger guys.
Right, he wanted a quarter then.
What?
He wanted to
quarter her.
Oh.
He did remarry, and later on, after Mother died, and but first he told us when Mother was alive how no good she was, well, how wild she was. They were thinking after he married her, and then he tried to tell us how good she was, but Leslie talked up to him, but I didn't. He was married to her, and I just let him do his talking, but he didn't change my opinion any, but then anyway, he didn't have to know it. But I took care of him until 3 months before he died. And then I just couldn't anymore. I got so nervous. We took him and put him in a home, and he'd done such terrible things. That's why I had to take him away. And they were going to send him up to Orfino. Well, they have to give him, he was 91 then, they have to give him a sanity hearing first. Mm-hmm. They can't commit him there. And it was right about around the first year. And it was a holiday, so we had to, and they went, I knew good and well that there wasn't much they could do until after New Year's. And so, but the 3rd of January, Fred and I, my husband and I, went up and saw an Alma Betts up south. And I told her just what the little dirty stunt she'd done and so on, and I just got to the point I couldn't take it anymore. And so she said, well, she'd try it. And so we paid her then. He was getting something. He never had anything when he died. He had some, a little bit from the welfare, and he took that. And then we had to make up money to keep him there, as far as that goes, but it was well worth it because I couldn't do it anymore. But my brother and the sister up at Kellogg, we chipped in, but I got one of Lewis and she could have chipped in as much. There's just he and her left anymore, but she's one of those, she liked to be on the end where you take, but not to put anything out. And so she's in a nursing home now down in Lewis. And of course, it'll be 2 years this spring that I was sick, and I just kept getting worse. And I just feel it pass off, and I fooled along until I pretty near let it go too long. I had gallstones, and I never had those awful pains, you know, like you get. But I'd get real pale, and I'd pretty near pass out. And I would get dizzy. Maybe I'd get in the car, start somewhere, and I'd get dizzy, and I'd just put my car back in the shed. So finally, the kids got hard boiled with him and said they had to go. Well, I was getting where I couldn't take it much longer anyway. And I got down there, and of course they had to x-ray, and to stay at my daughter's and x-ray. Come to find out I had gallstones. So I had to have surgery, but they had to get me ready, so they, as I said, about 2 more days that thing would have bursted. It just got, I didn't have just a lot of them like some of them do, but I just had one great big one, and then some sand in there, but this one was enormous. Well, I have to diet all the time now, that is what certain things.
Yeah.
I don't have enough sugar in my blood, I guess it is. Sugar count is low. But I can't have anything with sugar in it because it builds up an insulin, and the insulin is worse. And so I have to, I use Sucralose, and I eat plenty. I'm keeping alive and happy.
Well, they're marvelous what they do these days, though, you know, where they didn't in the old days.
But then, like when my mother died, why, I don't know now, I think there is a cure for Reich's disease of kidneys, but at that time, my grandfather died of that too, and I had a cousin that's 20 that died of Reich's disease. It must be kind of a kidney.
A hereditary type thing.
I think so. Another thing, we was awful, the dog got big ears, we like to eat. It makes a difference, probably has something to do with it.
Yeah. Now, you were telling me one other thing that I hadn't heard before, and that was about running underneath the sidewalks in Moscow.
Oh, that was in Moscow, yeah. My dad,
to picture that. How would they build the sidewalks up?
Well, there's a wooden sidewalk.
Oh.
A wooden sidewalk, and it was up quite a little ways, see. I'd run and hide under there, and Dad'd get mad at me when he come home, and he worked down to the store. David's, it used to be David Neely. There's a David store there yet, but it didn't.
She was telling me that she thought she knew most of your stories backwards and forwards anyway.
Well, that's the way I was with my dad. He told him so much. And later on, after he was gone, he knew who homesteaded this place and that. And then Ida Newman at Cameron wrote a book on the ridge here, and she'd call me for stuff, and I wished I'd paid more attention to him or jotted it down. And when I tried to inquire of him, and later his mind had got bad, he couldn't tell me that by that time. And I'd start to read my paper, and he'd start to talk. So I'd get up and move in the kitchen, and when he'd go to sleep on the davenport, I'd go back in the dining room, in the other room where the heater was, and read my paper.
So you missed out on a lot of it,
I missed out on a lot of things. But, he was a talent. He liked to brag. Boy, when you told one of his kids he's going to get a whip, and they got it, and they just know neither of them are running, they just well come and get it, take it, because they was going to get it. And I let him tell his whole story, and when he got through, I says, you remember that ice sidewalk in front of our place? Yes, sure, I remember that. I says, that saved me from any weapon. Of course, if he'd have got up and got after me, he could have got me out from under there all right. But I knew they had to be back to work at 1 o'clock, and I could stay there as long until I knew very good well he went back to work. And I went up we had a hayloft in, and we had a barn there behind the house. At that time, you were allowed horses or cows or something in town. I'd go up there and hide in the hayloft, too.
Did you get in trouble a lot?
Oh, heck.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, I was. I was an angel. No, I just said what I wanted, and it wasn't always what he wanted to hear.
That was usually the reason you got in trouble, though.
Yeah, because I was kind of... And another thing, he was partial, very partial. My sister older than me, she was a year and a half old, and she was older than me, and she was couldn't do anything wrong. Maud and he bragged on Maud. So Maud and I used to fight quite a bit, of course. Well, if I touched Maud, well, I got into it. So if I had any one touch her, I better do it after he went back to work. Or drag her under the sidewalk with me.
That's cute. Was it usual for fathers to whip their daughters?
No, my mother never knew it. I didn't get very many. I know I didn't get any.
You ran a lot,
I didn't get too many. But
no, you ran a lot, though.
I don't know. When I was a kid, I could run like a deer. Of course, now I can't even get the good walk. But I'm sure glad that I was fleet-footed at that time.
Well, how many kids were there?
There were 8, but there were 3 that died before I was born. There's 3 boys that I never could see. But one that died, they said they just diagnosed their own illnesses because no doctors, they wouldn't have a way to know. They felt it the oldest, the second boy, the oldest boy, he was the second child. They felt he died of typhoid fever, which there used to be lots of typhoid fever.
Mm.
But now you hardly ever hear that anymore. But it was unsanitary conditions and the water supply and all those things. And then, of course, they had the outside houses and flies and all that sort of stuff. There used to be a lot of typhoid fever. I know I had a sister that had it, the one that's in the nursing home now. She had it when she was 17, typhoid fever, and they used to have it. But I have an uncle that died of it, too, when he was about in his 30s, getting close to 40.
My goodness. There must have been an awful lot of that going around then.
And then I had this one boy died of the typhoid fever is what they called it. And the next one, he had an inflamed face. When he was born, he had have you heard of erysipelas? Where it all breaks out and swells up the skin.
Oh, yeah.
And he was born that way. Well, my mother had that. I saw her with that. She didn't dare get around fresh paint. She had to get out when they painted, why she had to get out.
Oh, that was like an allergic reaction.
Uh-huh. And my father's one brother got killed in a hunting accident up beyond Southwick. And of course, she got real upset over that. And the baby's born, well, she blamed it to that, but no one knows that. But he was born that way. And I think he lived 3 weeks, but he died. And the other baby was a year and a half old. He was just older than my sister that's a year and a half older than I am. And he had the croup. And my mother was sick and she was in bed, but the grandmother was there, but he choked to death in his sleep.
Oh, goodness.
So there was, right now there's three of us alive, three girls. And my folks had four boys and four girls, and they only raised one boy to be grown.
Hmm. This was quite common, though, for those days, wasn't it?
What?
This was quite common, that little children were taken.
And my brother lived to be, what was it? 79, I believe. He lived to be 79.
Not bad.
And he died in his sleep.
Hmm.
He had a heart attack, I suppose. I don't know. He wasn't well anyway, and his wife had died too, several years before that. But she died of a heart. Died of heart, of a bad heart. She was dead before they ever could get her to the hospital.
Hmm.
My older sister died of TB at that time, and she had it. Well, they didn't know any cure for TB. But she taught school, and she'd get out and walk and ride a horseback maybe 4 or 5 miles to school in the morning and ride home at night in all kinds of weather, and possibly that it was that caused that. She and her husband both died of that, of TB, about 3 or 4 months apart. She died in October and he died the following March. They left two little girls, and then of course my mother took care of them to as long as she lived. Then my sister and I, that was just older than me, we had to take care of those little girls after that. And I'd work out a while and make some money to buy some clothes for myself, and then I'd go home and Maud would go and work out so that she could, one of us stayed home.
Oh, and then you took care of the two little girls
at
home too, and your father.
And they're both dead now, the two girls. One died of cancer and the other one died in her sleep. I imagine it was a bad heart. So they're both those girls. One was 5 years younger than I am, and the other one was 7 years younger.
So you
I was
were,
an aunt
you
when
were,
I was 5 years old.
Yeah, and a mother by the time you were 13 then.
Yeah, I was taking care of him anyway.
Yeah.
But my older sister, she, when Maud and I, she took care of us all the time and bathed us and changed her pants. So she had two of them in diapers. I guess Maud wasn't broken a year and a half. I don't know, I didn't have much luck with kids being fully broke until they was 2 years old, did you?
Well,
just depends on how much time you spend on it.
Yeah.
But you got to be there when they're there.
Yeah, when they're there. There's a great deal of mama training that goes on in about a year.
I got it.
I had pretty good luck with mine. I don't know why, but
some of them say girls are easier trained than boys, but I don't know if that's so or not.
Both of mine are girls, and I think my oldest one was born with with a extra special bladder or something, because she didn't wet a diaper from 4 months on at night. She'd sleep all through the night dry.
Well,
I could get her up in the morning at 4 months old, and she'd be dry.
Well,
second one, I wasn't that lucky.
What?
The second one, I wasn't that lucky.
I wasn't that lucky.
I was kind of wondering about that, you know, and living out on farms and things where you have just outdoor plumbing.
Yeah.
How did you?
Well, we have those slop
potty
yards. You have slop yards and pots.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Poor little kids would fall in, though.
Are the toilets?
Yeah. No, the pots.
Well, you can get those little potty chairs, too.
Mm.
I know I had them for, I took care of that oldest granddaughter of mine. Her dad was in the service, and her mother was working somewhere, and she didn't like to be tied down to kids. And she don't yet, she's 49, she wouldn't want to be tied down to kids now yet.
Hmm.
But so grandma was tied down to it. And sometimes I wonder, I still babysit, and I wonder if I'm ever going to get to the point that I want to have to babysit.
Oh, you missed your chance. You started young, and it's sticking with you.
That sure stuck with me, all right. Well, my one sister, she didn't have children. Her husband got the guy she married later, but got hurt badly in World War I, and they didn't marry. They were engaged.
Hmm.
They started going together. She was 16, and he was 19. He was 3 years older than her. And when they got married, she was 39 years old, and he was at 3 years older. That's when they got married.
My goodness.
She calls it 20 years, but by golly, it was 23 years they went together before they ever were married, from the time they went together until they married.
My goodness.
I am not that patient. I don't
know. Oh, you were married at 17, yeah. Now, that's kind of early, isn't it?
It is. It's young. Yeah.
For the normal then.
Yeah, I just got tired of herding little kids and working out, I guess. And so I got married.
So then you had your own work. And your own
kids.
And
then I was married 13 months and then I had a child of my own. And then, of course, I went on for almost 8 years, and then I had the two. Mm-hmm. So then I decided I'd done something wrong along the line, I better quit.
Next one would have three.
Fred used to laugh and say, first it was 8 years. He said, you wait 16 years and have four. I told him he could have me, and I was through.
That was kind of a surprise to me. I didn't realize that he had delivered your twins.
Yeah.
You had said you had your babies at home, but I figured there was a midwife.
I had all of them at home as far as that goes. My sister-in-law came, and then I had a doctor. At least the doctor got there when the boy was born.
Mm.
But I never had much trouble, and I could have had him just as easily, too. I just built different. It all makes a lot of difference how you're born. Now, you take this oldest girl here, my great-granddaughter. My daughter, or my granddaughter, oldest granddaughter, has a neuropelvis or something there.
Mm-hmm.
And that child is on her arm and shoulder that she laid some way up against a bone somewhere that she carries a birthmark because it was too... She couldn't have large children. They couldn't grow that far. One of them weighed, what the heck was it? 4 pounds and 8 ounces, the oldest one, I think. And the second one weighed 4 pounds and 2 ounces. They were just small babies.
Mm-hmm.
But I never had a child over 6 pounds. The boy was a big one. And the twins, one weighed 4 and the other weighed 5. I figure having little and they can grow.
Yeah.
Of course, you can't always do
beat
that.
Them up on the outside. Yeah, but you put that together, that makes 9 pounds.
Yeah. Then there's always a little bit besides that.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Well, they thought I had a third one there, but it was blood clots.
Hmm.
It proved to be blood clots because there was too much swelling and everything.
Hmm. What did you do? You know, like now they say you have to take so many vitamins and you have to do this and you have to do that while you're pregnant. Were there any special rules then, or did you?
Well, I know that I just milked the cows the night before before the kids were born, and turned the creep separator and pumped water and done all those things, and I was doing chores right up to the time they were born, only that morning. And I got sick before he got back. I didn't milk the cows that morning for a few mornings afterwards. But I done chores right up to the day they was born. But I don't think the average does that, but if you marry a Dutchman, you might have to.
That's the way it goes. All right. No, I just wondered, you know, because there's the old wives' tales about, you know, you don't hang clothes on the line and things like that.
Oh, heck, I hung clothes on the line. We didn't have electricity then. I packed a lot of water from the well when the cistern would go dry to start the washing. Get up early in the morning and do that. And I was hanging clothes out there before the twins was born. And I fell down and it looked just like a goddamn horse if you had rolled in the yard.
How'd you get up?
Got up. I rolled her up and got up. I was younger then than I am now.
Yeah,
a lot prior.
I guess so.
I was 26 when the twins were born. 18 when the boy was born.
Yeah. But you don't remember any sayings like that, any of your neighbors coming by telling you not to do something?
I didn't pay attention.
You didn't pay
because
attention.
Because my husband was the boss.
Yeah. And he didn't have any of those kind of old wives' tales.
No. Fred, Annie, his sister, came over. And of course she knew that how Fred was. He'd make me do chores right up there. She started in to bullet him out. Now, by gosh, I had to stay in, not to send her out doing chores right away. Got Fred got better than Nicky's sister for trying to boss him. But I think, and well, Fred's mother done that way. I don't know if she had doctors or not. I really don't know about that. But they were doctors here then. Mm-hmm. Dr. Stoneburner was here when I was born, but he was somewhere else at the time. And they didn't have phones.
Yeah.
And a few people did later on. Well, when I was about 10, I remember people having phones, but my mother never lived in a house that had phone in it.
Hmm. Never needed it either, huh?
And when my folks came up here on this ridge, mm-hmm. up here they didn't have any mail. And they, of course, everybody, the neighbors all helped one another. And they had to go to Genesee on horseback to get the mail. And somebody'd go about once a week, and then they'd bring everybody's mail along that was over here that they knew. And that was understood just amongst the bunch. They had to, in order to get by, they had to help one another.
Yeah. That's interesting. How long did it take to ride up to Genesee?
Well, gee, I wouldn't know. It depends on how fast a horse you had. It take quite a little while, because you'd have to, it's more than 12 miles from here. The closest way as I know to Genesee is up over this fixed ridge up here with the schoolhouse in Julietta. And I don't know, there's quite a little ways up there to Genesee. I wouldn't know how many miles it is. I don't go that often. My granddaughter, this oldest, one time she and I went to Bosco. And we started down to come back home. We got there just fine. And they changed the roads up around Genesee somewhere. And the road I intended to take, I missed. So anyway, we found another one, and I said, well, this will take us down there. And I knew the houses and all that, but they changed the road and put it around behind where they were. Some of those people were back there, were off of the main road. Well, then I got where I didn't know the things, and by gosh, we were lost. We got lost there. So there was a guy that used to live down here at Juliet, and he works up there for a farmer. So he come along with a pickup, and he said, well, I'll get you out on that main road, get you back on the road, then I know you can find your way home, which we did. So when we started out then, this granddaughter started teasing me. Mm-hmm. He says, you told about your folks coming in covered wagons, clear from back east. I said, well, they did. Well, how'd they make it? Says, well, you can't find your way from Moscow back to Juliet.
Well, there's probably only one road then.
Well, the way we went, we went up over by Denler's and stuff up at the top of the grade. You go up past the schoolhouse here and up that way. We went that way, but we come back that way too after we got on the right road up to Genesee. But that's where we got lost.
Do you remember the train coming through?
Oh, yes.
Coming into town?
No, when it first came, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that was way back in the 1990s, and I wasn't born until 1901.
Oh, okay.
1897 or somewhere along there. I really have forgot. I read it, but I forgot. Mm-hmm. But I know a lot of it, my folks, there wasn't any train here when they came.
Did it make a difference in their lives?
Oh, I imagine it must have. Because Scotty Wilson, he was an old timer. He was a guy from Scotland. He came, that's how he happened to get here. He came, I think he landed in Canada, and when they started building a railroad down here, he come here and got to work, and was working, and he met a woman here. She was from Scotland too, but they didn't know each other back there. And her name was Burns, and they met and got married and had about 10 or 11 kids.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, they used to have big families.
Is that fellow you're telling me homesteaded up on the... He took a homestead way up high where he couldn't raise any crops?
Scotty Wilson?
Yeah.
I suppose so. We bought that place. It was just more or less rock. I don't know why he ever homesteaded there. It was just more or less... And Fred, he wanted to sell out, and my husband bought the place before he died. I sold it now since he's gone. I sold it to my son because I don't have cattle anymore. It's more pasture land. I don't have any use for that. Mm. But he couldn't make a living for that family, and he was a carpenter. He'd have to work out, and she was a big, heavy woman, and she had to get out and run those darn cows down, too, when he was gone and take care of those kids. She had anything but she never had a very good life. I know that.
Mm.
Well, I guess they had hardships they're bound to. I got a book the other day up here at the library when Marsh was in here. Well, I only take one at a time. I don't want to get a whole lot. And some of them have their arms full. I don't read that much.
No.
I watch the television some. I have programs there I watch. But I got interested in that book, and it was real good. So I read it nights more after I watch a few programs, and I go to bed, and if I can't sleep, I read in bed. I liked it. I didn't have anything else to read, so I read it twice now, from last Tuesday till this is Monday.
You got another week yet to go.
Yeah, I may have memorized by that time. Now that memorized is getting where it isn't so easily done anymore.
No. So you had to do that a lot in school, though, didn't you?
Oh, yes, I had to memorize a lot. But,
do you remember reciting back again?
Oh, I
guess. Because they don't do that anymore in school.
I can tell little stories and little poems and things to my kids that I learned when I was just a kid. And all those little nursery rhymes, I used to know all of them. Mm-hmm. Because I read them for myself, and I got so I could read. And then when I had nieces, and they were little, well, I'd read them to them. Maud, my sister, she's usually busy playing with her doll. And then in rainy days, on Saturdays and Sundays, we didn't go very much. And mother wasn't well. Why, we did play school. The two little ones. Well, the little one, youngest one, the one that younger of those nieces. Well, she wasn't much interested. She didn't learn so much. But the older one, she liked it. And we'd play school. And that kid could read and write and do everything before she ever started school.
I'll be doggone. Hmm.
And she just went through school just that way. She just liked to study, and she was an A student all through school. And she took high school in 3 years, which I don't think they allow that anymore. But
no,
she went through high school in 3 years.
Hmm. You started her outright then.
But her mother was always a good student too. And then I don't know about Glenn, my brother-in-law. I don't remember him, but my brother married Glenn, my brother-in-law's sister. They married brothers and sisters. And my sister-in-law was real good in school. And when she got out of school and they moved to Lewis, and she went, I think, as far as the ninth grade up at Leland, and she got down there and she went to night school.
Hmm.
And she always read something that would make her, you know, an educator. She didn't mm-hmm. like a lot of silliness or something that she could get better at, be better educated. And she was well read. Funny paper, you could hire her to read about that. Was a waste of time.
Where I start.
But she was a marvelous cook. I never saw anyone that could cook any better than she could. But if it ruffled her, you never knew it, mm-hmm. if it bothered her. And I have a sister that the one's in the nursing home now. She's just the other way. And Maud's the same way. She gets all excited if someone would come in, just one person come in at mealtime. Mm-hmm. It'd throw her clear off. And they'd get nervous.
Well, how sure. about you? Like when you
I would be that way now, but not before. God, our place there on the ranch, it was a free boarding house. That's the God's truth. They didn't have any. My sister lived in Lewis, and it upset her if we went in. But mm-hmm. they'd come there, and if they got any company, she didn't like to cook. And she didn't, and they were stingy as heck. Well, and they was poor too. And oh, they figured I had it all. It wasn't nothing for me because I had everything because I had that garden. But she didn't think, know how I worked out there to get that garden.
Yeah, yeah.
And by gosh, if she knew that, and they could they could eat cheaper if it didn't take as much in gas to get them up there. Why, that by gosh, where they come. And you could just rest assured, the day before the 4th of July, see, that's when we'd be cultivating beans or putting up hay. It'd be one of the two. And I'd have a crew. They'd come in, I guess, right around noon on Saturday, the day before the 4th. And wouldn't be ready. She'd have a bunch of ironing. She'd ever like to iron. And end up, I guess, that the kids would be a-thrashing in through the doors and slamming along with my own. And she'd drag out the sewing machine. I'd done the cooking, then I'd have to do the dishes, and then I'd have to, she hadn't got around to press her husband's suit. Your boy's suit wasn't pressed, and so I was doing that. And I had my kids all lined out a month before the 4th. Well, I knew I had to get ready. If I didn't, we wouldn't make it.
Is this a special celebration on the 4th?
Oh, they used to have great big celebrations out in every town, but now they don't do it anymore. But if it wasn't at Cavendish, it'd be at Leland, or it'd be up here at Kendrick, or I've been here at Julietta to celebrations. But they don't have them anymore.
Everybody get all dressed up.
Yeah. Now why everybody does these things, go camping or goes fishing or does something.
Yeah.
I'm glad I was glad of it. That was a celebration.
You must have had an awful lot of work getting all the kids ready and everything.
I don't know how I could do it, how I done it, but I always managed to get through one way or the other.
I was thinking back to when you were talking about being a cook for the thrashing crew.
Well, I didn't go out and hire out for that. That was just, they go from place to place. You do it in your own home. And when you get through with the meals that they eat it while they're thrashing your crop, that was it. They just trash our crop. You had to, when years ago when my folks thrashed, oh gosh, I'm a lady, right? They had cookhouses then. I remember the cookhouses, but they never had them after I was. I can remember just a little faintly on the ranch when we lived there that there was a cookhouse there. And my oldest sister, once in the nursing home now, she helped my aunt. My aunt used to go out and cook in the cookhouse, hire out for that.
But now, like when they came to thrash, how much warning did you have? Did you know they were coming, or did they just show up and
well,
it was time to eat?
Well, there's been a time or two that I got them that way, but usually I knew ahead of hand, and I went to town. Of course, then we didn't have refrigeration, we didn't have electricity, I didn't even have an ice box. And we'd go to have our meat set up. There was a stage that come up, and I'd phone my meat in, or if someone went to town, and I'd buy fresh meat. Mm-hmm. But now, that's something different. Again, they have freezers, and they have all that sort of stuff. It's altogether different than it was then. And you could keep things in those.
That's why I was wondering, because how many men did you feed?
Well, at one time, I was cooking for 47, I think. It was a big crew, but it was just a big thrash machine, of course. And then the separator tender had died, and the guy had come. He'd never tended separator before, and he had a little bit of trouble to smash things up, and I had him 8 days that time.
Oh, jeez.
But the worst of it was, he had the big ranges, but they weren't to cook for that many, your stove wasn't big enough. But you could cook, I baked 20 loaves of bread a day, 10 in the morning, 10 in the afternoon.
Mm.
And I started out one meal, I made pies, and I had to have so much room in the oven that I couldn't do it. I could get the cakes out some way, because it didn't take so long as that. I had to have 12 pies, and I just didn't have time to get the meat in, and the bread, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I'd get up at 3 in the morning, and I'd be still going at 10 or 10:30 at night.
Ouch.
But I was glad when he was going. I was young then and strong, but my God, I tell you, I could take it now. I just couldn't do it.
Hmm. 8 days. Golly.
Well, if you had a big enough stove, the stoves were larger, but you don't. You would have that room for that much stove in your kitchen. But now you take these stoves. Now the electric stoves don't have as large ovens as the old ranges had.
No, they don't. But then, I don't think I could feed 42 out of my kitchen. You had to bake the bread. What did you serve them for breakfast? Just hotcakes or?
No, I only tried that about once or twice. And I like to work. That's too much. We'd fry potatoes, mm-hmm. and we'd have meat and eggs, and cook cereal.
All that was easier than making pancakes.
Oh yes, because pancakes, you can't hardly flop them over fast enough, fire them fast enough to keep them going there. I set 14 at a time so that I could set, and then I just have to, at the last, when I had the 20s of them, I had a bigger dining room there at that place,
mm-hmm.
and I run two tables. But at the last, I just had this one big long table that seated 14.
They just had to take turns.
And then they'd fill up the table, and we'd have to get those dishes off right away, and then set some more on there. But I only tried it once. Hotcakes for breakfast, and that's too bad. Or much work for that many men.
And then there was lunch. Did you just make sandwiches or?
Sandwiches and cookies usually.
Sandwiches.
Sometimes cake.
Cookies.
You had to take it. I had to take it. Then coffee. I had to take that to the field.
Oh.
At 9 o'clock in the morning, in the afternoon. At 4 o'clock was lunchtime again. Then all the cups had to be washed till we got them back.
Two lunches,
one in the morning, one in the afternoon.
And then they had a big dinner or a little
dinner
at noon? Big dinner and noon. Oh boy. And that's when you tried to get all the pies and everything.
Mm-hmm. But then
did you do this all by yourself?
No, I had two helpers. I had my niece and my oldest niece, the one that's mine. And I had another girl, because Willard was a baby then.
And you had all your own housework to try.
We didn't do a heck of a lot to make our beds. They didn't need to be bed too often. We didn't sleep in them long. You didn't do much rolling around.
Mm. And did they eat a big supper at night or just a little
supper?
Yeah,
heck yes.
Big supper at night?
I had a crew of 13 one time in the beans.
Mm-hmm.
And those 13 ate as goddamn much food as... They just happened to be a bunch where they all were hard eaters. Then they get to running up there, they got to where the guys and see which one could eat the most pie. And by God, they carried it too far, and we all those women round in there, we went together, we made up mind, we put stop to that. Heck, any of the family didn't get a piece of pie. They'd eat it right down to the last. So we put it on pie plates, washed a few extras, give them each piece of pie. And some of them howled about it, said something afterwards. I said, well, I said, you guys made all of yourself. I says, that's just why you've got limits.
But was this taken out of their pay, or was it just kind of included?
The farmer fed the crew. That was all just what they did. Their food, they were boarded.
Hmm. And then you had to find some place for them to sleep?
Well, they had to bring the beds. They'd take hay or straw or something and fix it. No one could fix it. I've had the hay hands where they didn't have beds, and I had to fix beds for them, but I've not the thrashers, they bring their own beds.
Well,
Just
a bed roll.
I don't think they had invented this year sleeping bags at that time.
I don't know, I think the bed roll worked just about as good. Boy, that sounds like so much work.
I wouldn't want to try it now, but that was all in the day's work then.
Now, what kind of crops did you have? You mentioned beans once.
Yeah, we had wheat and barley and oats, and then the beans. Well, at those times, way back there, we didn't use it. Now they raise peas. The buttons are bored.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next year was a wet year, too. But we saved some, but then we lost a lot, too. Then later on, they had another wet year, a bad year, but we didn't happen to have any beans in that year. And we had quit. By that time, we quit raising beans. But there's no let up to it. From the time you start out in the spring to getting your ground ready to seed and plant beans, then you got to cultivate those beans and get rid of the weeds that's in there. And then from when the beans is off, the hay is ready. From the hay, some of the harvest is ready. There wasn't any rest between. You were just one thing right after another.
Hmm. Now, what did your father raise? He was out here.
Well, it was
same thing.
They didn't have it. No, when he farmed, while they had never started beans, I was about 10 or 11 years old the first time I ever remember them ever trying beans up on the ridge there. And Claude Craig raise some. It was just an experiment, and then he's done pretty good with it, and then everybody started in. They made bean cutters and so on, and then they raised beans. These white navy beans and red beans, and so these dry beans that they mm-hmm. have.
But before that, it was just oats and...
Oats and barley, and then they straight summer followed some. Mm-hmm. They'd rotate it every third year. They'd summer follow a certain amount of it. They'd lay a third off or something like that.
Now, what was this for, weed control or...?
Yes, and to build the land up.
For the moisture?
Yeah, I suppose. Anyway, they would summer follow. You know, they'd always have some. Now these farmers that's there, they have straight summer and summer vines that they had at the ones that are farming it now, so the vine gardeners. But they're good farmers. My son started out, and he had more he could take care of, so then my vine gardeners. I put an ad in the paper, and good God, people kind of run me ragged here. It's after I moved out here to rent it. And some guys showed up wanting to rent it, and I said, well, do you have tractors and all this stuff? Well, he's got a tractor. Well, I said, you got to have more than a tractor to farm. Well, then you go out and try to rent a ranch, and they didn't have any more idea what they was up against than anything.
Hmm.
They'd be all this kind of, they'd have to have their living for a year. Until they got that crop off, they'd have to have money enough to buy the seed, because I wasn't about to buy their seed and take a chance on someone who didn't know about anything about farming. In fact, I wouldn't rent to someone who didn't understand farming. So after I had that, well, I figured these guys get through, I don't think I'll ever run another ad. Well, I'll ask a few farmers that I think that kind of halfway know that they want to farm and are good farmers. I don't want to be bothered.
Yeah.
Because I've got some up there that I know who'd be about the first one down. I like them, and I get along with them. But everything has to be their way, and I'm sure that now we're getting along. But if I rented to them, we wouldn't. So if they're going to be lying, I know it ahead of time. I'm not going to indulge in anything like that. But you'd be surprised. Guys, dumb heads that go out and think they could farm, and they never farm in their life.
Yeah. Well, that's a nice dream.
Well, yeah. Made it feel good while they thought.
Yeah. When did the horses go out around here? You know,
they started quite a number of years back at having tractors. But Fred, my husband, he was the last one, I think, on that old ridge that still farmed to the horses and didn't have a tractor.
Oh, okay.
And he didn't get a tractor until in the spring of Willard was in the service in World War II, and he had worked in the mines when he left here, and he decided to go back and try that when he got out and got home. And see, Judy was born in 44, about a 46 or something when he got out of the service and came home. And he farmed in that next fall, and he started farming in 47, but that was when we had. That spring, my husband had bought a tractor, and he said, stop and farm. And of course, the boy took the tractor then, and then later they got a crawler. But this was a job.
He used horses all the way up
all
into
the
40s then.
When we were first married, he had 30 workhorses that he used.
Well, I see what you mean. He had to go feed the stock before he came in for breakfast. He had a lot to feed, huh?
Yeah. And he'd raise all his horses. He'd have those mares and raise colts, and he'd break them when they're 3 years old, and he'd break those horses to work.
That long before you?
Oh, yes. They're just little fellas at first.
Hmm. Did you ever take any of your animals up to the stock shows in Genesee? Or?
No, we never went in for anything like that. We didn't even have a truck for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
No, we didn't do anything like that. We didn't. In fact, I think he and I went to two fairs, I don't think, at all of the time. Now, he had got crippled up, and he didn't like it. He couldn't walk, and then now I don't care to go, because I can't, even the shop now, I was shopping yesterday, the kids would get him things.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that walking, he got the arthritis in the knees. As long as I sit down, they don't hurt, but boy, See my leg house all twisted out of shape here?
Oh,
see here, this is all built up with that calcium or whatever it is.
And the cement and doesn't help that at all.
It makes me look like I'm bow-legged. This doctor, Hewlett, I think is his name, chiropractor in Clarkson, he says, have you always been bow-legged? I said, no, it's just since I had that arthritis. Willard, he insisted I had to go to him. Well, he didn't do me one bit of good. Of course, he x-rayed and gave me a treatment. Then to come back 2 days and take another, and I'd done that, and they paid him $60 he wanted, and I ain't going back anymore because it doesn't help. He told me that day that he didn't think he could help me. So if it ain't going to help, I ain't going to go just to.
No.
He's got about all. He's making good living for himself.
What'd they do for arthritis back in the old days? If your dad had arthritis, what would he have done?
I don't know. Never had it. He was just a spry. Only he got old and got weak, and he could walk. He didn't have a limp. There's a man down here that's 82 years old. Lives down here, and by God, he don't limp. And I says, how come? I says, you don't limp, and all these others, well, the rest of us have to walk with a cane and all that. He says, well, I'll have to remember to limp when I go by.
Just for show, huh?
Yeah.
Well, can't blame it all on hard work, because you've had your share.
No.
While you're cooking and stuff.
I don't know what. Sometimes it's from being now with Fred where he had it. That doctor says jumping down off of the doctor him says jumping down off of the machinery, and exposure to the cold and stuff would cause it. That's all I know. What he said, told him, and I wouldn't have done anything about it to be that Willard. Willard insisted, but Willard, my son, he's got arthritis too, and he's all crippled up. He's 56 and he's crippled up.
My sister's got it and she's 26, so.
Well, I
can't win these days.
I've got it all through here, but I know what caused that. I went to that and we had a fence that was leaning down till I had to crawl up under like this and go over the top, and I was pretty darn heavy, and I wasn't getting very good, doing very good. If I'd have struggled a little bit, I'd have made it all right. And I tried to go through the barn and through the gangway, and we had a door where you could walk through, and we had an elevator. I was supposed to go out there and help him. Willard's after my husband died, to help him load some hay and go with him to feed out around the canyon.
Mm.
And about that time, one of those bales decided didn't want to stick on that, you slide, letting them come down the elevator, and it fell off of there and hit me right smack dab on top of the head. Just knocked me down, and I couldn't get up. Just felt like my back was broke. Oh, it did hurt. So Willard happened to look out and look down there, and he heard that funny noise. My breath coming funny. Every time I breathe, well, just like it was killing me. And so he looked down there, and he come down on that elevator. He come down there, he's going to get me up. And I said, don't move me, don't move me. I didn't want him to move me. It just felt like it killed me if he moved me. And I laid there till I get up on my own, sit there and get for a little while, but I didn't go and help. And so then I went to the house, and I decided, well, maybe I better go to the darn doctor anyway. So I called Miriam, his daughter-in-law, and asked her if she could come down, and she could come down. She said, who is it? And she didn't even recognize my voice because I was it. And so I told her, and she came and left a note for Judy. No, I called the school to tell her I was going, like scared her to death. She was going, she finished her senior year with me after my husband died. And God, like scared her to death. So I went down there to the doctor, and he gave me that. I took all that treatments from a guy down there, a chiropractor by the name of, it don't make a difference about his name anymore,
yeah.
Warren somebody. And, so.
Got you back in shape anyway, a little bit.
Yeah, but oh, God, I've got a bump there in the middle of my back, over it's all. But this here one of those twins was in a plane crash and got her back was broke in four different places. And it was all splintered. There wasn't anything they could ever set it or anything. And she was so bad, and her lung had collapsed. One lung had collapsed. And she lay out from 3 p.m. on a Sunday till the next night. The time they got her down off this mountain where that plane crashed, it was dark when they got her off the mountain. A little town down there, not too far from Ogden, Utah. And so her husband had a broken neck out of the deal, but by God, he walked out with a broken neck. It couldn't have been where it had killed him. It could have been a certain place, but it didn't. He walked out to get help.
Huh.
And so then he told them where it was at. They went back up there, and they couldn't find it. They didn't go far enough up the mountain. And so then he had to go back up as far as they go with the Jeep. They took him that far, and they started him up a draw. He started him out. So then they went back, and they found her. Because her feet were frozen, partially, and she lay there. And one guy died. And there were four of them in the plane. It was a four-passenger plane. And he helped get her out of the plane, then collapsed after that and died.
Well, that's right. You told me that.
And they took her out there. It was a Dr. Tanner was his name, and we found out, we didn't find out about it till Monday night, about 8 o'clock, 7 or 8 o'clock, and Judy got word from, and then she came down rather than call me, and we had friends here and playing cards, and I said, gosh, I said, I want to go, but I said, I've got only $6, I said, my purse. Well, this Gilderley Wines, they were my most wonderful neighbors, he says, I've got $100 you can have. And so I wrote him out a check for the $100. And he had $150, though, when he counted it out. And he said, you can have it all if you want. And I said, no. So I gave him his check. Of course, he gave his money the next day. But I sure they were the most wonderful neighbors I ever saw. She's moved away now, but he died. But this is this is an awful friendly town, I'll have to say that much.
Yeah.
Macy might stretch the truth once in a while. But anyway, they're an awful friendly town.
Well, you've lived out of town most all your life then.
What?
You lived out of town most
of my life. I spent 5 years in Moscow when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
I went there and went to school. I was 10 when I left. I may have been 5 or just going 6. I can't remember what year it was you moved to Moscow. But I know that's where I started the school, and I was in the 10th. I remember I was 10 years old when I moved away from there.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the time, outside of one winter, we spent in Kendrick, and my dad worked at the warehouse, and we went to school. We lived just on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the only work I know, that and cleaning the house or something. Mm-hmm. Look at mine now, you'd never think I ever did clean.
It looks fine.
God, my windows. I got storm windows there, and they should come off, and it takes two husky guys to get it off, and I ain't even one husky guy.
Well, that's all right.
But it does save a lot of heat, I think.
It does, yeah.
I never had that in my head that would help to make a house cooler in the summer, but by gosh, it tells it on the TV and on the news or on the TV more and in papers that keeps your house cooler to have double windows. But I never figured it that way.
Yeah, because the sun coming in the window is supposed to heat up your room. And if you've got that second piece of glass, then the heat gets trapped in between before it gets all the way in or something.
When it hits against the windows, I draw my drapes in.
Oh, yeah. Or ever leave a couch sitting in front of the window.
But anything where the glass reflects it. What do you do with your children? You have babysitters for them?